This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with the series called 40 Days in the Word. In these lessons, Rick teaches us what it means to not just be hearers of the Word, but also doers of the Word. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get the DVD study kit of this great series. And you can take a sneak peek at this valuable tool by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Understanding the Meaning of a Text.
Now, this particular passage that we're going to look at today, John 15, which is a passage on fruit bearing, is right in the middle of a four-chapter conversation that's all said on the same evening to the same group of people. It was said the night Jesus was betrayed, arrested, and taken to be whipped and scourged before he was crucified. This is the last conversation of Jesus before he goes to the cross. Now, Jesus has spent 3.5 years with his 12 disciples, hand-picked men who he's lived with for 3.5 years, training them to take on the ministry after he dies, resurrects, and then eventually goes back to heaven. And he wants to spend time with them. And he takes them to a very private place for a private conversation. And what he's saying here, he's not saying to the whole crowd. He's not preaching to big group. He's not saying this in a church. He's saying it to his most trusted followers, the people he loves the deepest and the dearest, because they have lived with him for his entire 3.5 years of public ministry. And in John chapter 13, 14, 15 and 16, we have one extended conversation that all happens on the same night. It's not separate. It's talking to the same guys the same night. And in John 17, he then prays for them. Then he is arrested and taken and crucified. So what I want to do is to understand chapter 15, you got to go back to chapter 13. Now, to understand the context means to look at the verses before and after the verse that you're studying in particular. So you just don't pull it out of context. So I want to spend a little bit of time, take me a little bit of time, to take you through what happened before and after and up to the point where Jesus talks about fruit bearing. So we're going to go back a chapter or two and go back to chapter 13. And we'll walk through this. Now, as I said, he's invested 3.5 years with these disciples. He loves them. These are his farewell instructions. When somebody is saying their last words before they die, you listen. And what Jesus is going to talk about in this conversation is the most important thing he wants us to understand. Because if there was anything more important, believe me, he'd be talking about it. He is now summarizing his ministry in these four chapters. And Jesus takes them to a private room. It's called the upper room. And there they observe the Passover, which becomes the famous Last Supper, or becomes communion, which we now practice today. And in that intimate relationship with those he loves most, he starts this conversation in chapter 13, verse 1. Let me read part of that. John 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. In other words, he knows he's going to die on the cross. Having loved his own who were in the world, he's talking about the disciples, he now showed them the full extent of his love. So what he's going to say in chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16 is going to show the full extent of God's love for them and for us. Now, the evening meal was being served. This is in the upper room. And the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Now, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, and that he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and so began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now, this is an incredibly intimate scene. It says Jesus knows who he is, and so he's going to perform an act of service to the disciples that's going to blow their mind. It's going to astound them. Now, by the way, you can't serve people till you know who you are. The number one thing that keeps you from serving other people is insecurity. Because you don't want to be treated like a servant because you're not secure in yourself. Jesus knew who he was. He's God. And so it says he was able to take off his outer garments and he does this lowly act of foot washing. Now, in those days, nobody wore shoes. They wore sandals. Everybody wore sandals. So your feet got dirty every day. And it was common custom that when you went to somebody's house for dinner, the first thing you did is you washed your guest's feet. It was a refreshing time. It just lifted the mood. But it was always done by servants. And Jesus does the absolute unexpected. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, takes off his clothes, wraps a towel around him, and begins to wash the feet of his disciples. And they cannot believe what's going on. He is serving them like the lowliest servant. And it says next, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't realize, Peter, now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." By the way, you don't understand what Jesus is doing in your life right now, but you'll understand later. I mean, rarely do you know and understand what God is doing in your life when he's doing it. It is usually only in retrospect, looking back, you go, "Oh, now I see what God was doing in that circumstance." You can almost never see what God is doing in your life in the moment. It's only looking back. And Jesus says, "Peter, you don't know what I'm doing right now, but later you will understand it." Peter said, "No, Lord." By the way, that's a contradiction. You can't say no and Lord in the same sentence. Okay? He's either Lord and you say yes, or you say no and he's not your Lord. You don't say no to Lord. You don't say no to God. If he's your Lord, you don't say no to him. So this is a contradiction. "No, Lord," Peter says, "you shall never wash my feet." That ain't going to happen, Lord. You're the Lord. No way. Well, Jesus answered, "Unless I wash your feet, Peter, you have no part of me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter said, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." I love this guy. He's like, "Okay, give me a bath, Lord, okay. If this is the way I get in, if this is part of it, man, get out the Shamwell and let's do a sponge bath from head to toe. Come on, Lord, the whole body, the full body, everything, Lord, come on, let's just do it all." I love this guy. He said, no way, and now, okay, everything. He's all or nothing. Reminds me of myself sometimes. Okay, and Jesus answered, "Peter, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet because his whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For Jesus knew who was going to betray him, and that's why he said not everyone was clean. You see, Judas was still in the room. They had had Passover together, and Judas is still in the room, and Jesus goes, "So you're clean, but not all of you," because he knows Judas is still here. One of them is going to betray me. And later, Jesus says to Judas, "Whatever you got to do, go do it," and Judas leaves. And later in over chapter 15, we read it earlier, he says, "Now you're all clean." Why? Because Judas wasn't with him anymore. Here's the 11 true blue guys who stuck with him through thick and thin. "Now, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place." "Do you understand what I've done for you?" Jesus asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for For that's what I am. I am the Lord, and I am your teacher. But now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, so also you should wash the feet of one another, one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. He is giving a beautiful, intimate picture of serving each other.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you'd like to reach out to Rick to let him know how this broadcast has blessed you, go ahead and email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com.
Is it enough to just love the Word and to learn the Word? Pastor Rick Warren says no. If we want to see lasting changes and real growth in our lives, we've got to live the Word too. That's why Rick created the 40 Days in the Word Study Kit. This kit includes 6 video sessions on DVD and a 206-page, 2-color workbook. In the workbook, you'll find 6 easy-to-learn methods for reading and meditating on Scripture. These are the very methods that Pastor Rick uses in his own personal daily quiet time. You'll also find a personal 40 Days in the Word journal and Bible verse memorization cards with the 20 Bible verses every believer should memorize. There's even a special section called How We Can Know the Bible Came from God and a guide for choosing which translation of the Bible is right for you. We'll send you a copy of the 40 Days in the Word study kit as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or 800-600-5004. Thank you so much for your support. Today is the last day to get this awesome study tool, so contact us right away.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Once again, here's Rick.
Judas was still in the room. They had had Passover together, and Judas is still in the room. And Jesus goes, so you're clean, but not all of you, because he knows Judas is still here. One of them is going to betray me. And later Jesus says to Judas, whatever you got to do, go do it. And Judas leaves. And later in over chapter 15, we read it earlier, he says, now you're all clean. Why? Because Judas wasn't with him anymore. Here's the 11 true blue guys who stuck with him through thick and thin. Now, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? Jesus asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. I am the Lord, and I am your teacher. But now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, so also you should wash the feet of one another, one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. He is giving a beautiful, intimate picture of serving each other. Now, this is the first lesson he's given to the people closest in his life before he dies. Jesus knows they're going to be devastated by his death. They're going to be in grief. They're going to be in shock. They're going to be saying, it's not supposed to happen like this. They can't believe it. They're going to be confused. And he goes, guys, you're going to need to love each other and you're going to need to serve each other. So I'm giving you this example to hang in there together. And for the rest of the chapter, chapter 13, Jesus emphasizes the importance of loving each other. Because he said, you're getting ready to go through some tough times, and I want you to love, and I want you to serve each other. Then we come to chapter 14. And in chapter 14, Jesus makes a number of promises. This is the same conversation. They're still in the upper room. He's still talking to just 11 guys now. Judas is left. And he knows they're going to go through some stuff, and so he gives them some promises to encourage them. 4 of them specifically. In the first 11 verses, he said, now, you guys, don't worry, because I'm going to heaven, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. Yes, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again, and then I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm going to pray a place for you. So don't worry. Don't worry. It's all working out. That's the first thing. Then in verses 12 to 14, he says, oh, and by the way, you don't need to worry because you can talk to me anytime in prayer. I'm not going to be here physically anymore, but you can ask anything in my name and I will do it that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So go ahead and do it. Just don't worry. I'm going to heaven to prepare a place for you. And don't worry because you can always talk to me in prayer. Then in the next few verses, verse 15 to 25, he says, don't worry, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to put my Spirit to be inside you and to be with you. And he will be your strength. And he will be your comforter. And he will be your guide. And he will be your counselor. So you don't need to worry. No, I'm not going to be here. But the Holy Spirit's going to be here with you. And then he says, in the last few verses, 27 to 30, he says, don't worry because I'm going to give you the gift of peace. And he said, it's peace not as the world gives. He said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. You can count on that. You're going to have problems. But I'm going to give you peace, and my peace overcomes the world. So I'm going to heaven, preparing a place for you. You can talk to me anytime in prayer. I'm going to put my Holy Spirit in you, and I'm going to give you the gift of peace so that no matter what goes on, you're going to be at peace on the inside. And that's all chapter 14. At the end of chapter 14, the last verse, he says this. Look up here on screen. Verse 31. He now says, come now, let's leave this place. So Jesus and the 11 disciples leave the upper room. And they're walking out of the upper room, and they go down into the valley. Jerusalem's up on a hill, and up to the other side where they're going to climb up to, on the other side of the mountain, where is the Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is going to pray, and then he's going to be arrested. As they're walking from here to here, they're walking through the vineyards of Jerusalem. And Jesus sees these vineyards, and he decides to give them an object lesson. And that's where he starts chapter 15. I'm the vine, and my Father's the vineyard keeper. And every branch that stays connected to me, it's going to bear fruit. But if you get disconnected from me, you're not going to bear fruit. So you got to stay connected to me, guys. I'm going to be gone. I'm not going to be with you, but you got to stay connected to me. And he goes on and he talks about the bearing fruit by staying connected. And then at the end of that object lesson, he says this in verse 11. Look up here on the screen. Now, I've told you this, all these things about serving, about loving, about heaven, about you can always pray, about the Holy Spirit, about the gift of peace, and about bearing fruit. He says, this is all one conversation. I've told you all this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now, that's called the context. Who's he talking to? Why is he saying it? To give him encouragement. Now, knowing the context, what do you think the odds are that Jesus meant when he is trying to give encouraging words to his disciples who he knows are going to be discouraged, and he loves them, and he wants to encourage them, so he says this, you guys, if you don't bear fruit, you're going to be cut off from me, you're going to lose your salvation, and you're going to burn in hell. Now, I've said this that your joy may be full. Nonsense. It makes no sense at all. The context totally disproves that idea that he's talking about hell. Okay? He said, I said this that your joy may be full. You think it would be joyful to say, oh, by the way, I'm leaving, and if you don't stay connected to me, you go to hell. And you're going to burn. And you're going to be disconnected, and you're going to lose your salvation. And that's not at all what he's talking about. And as we get into this, you're going to see what that means. But the context makes that interpretation nonsense. So the first thing is you look at the verses before and after. What does it mean? The second principle of interpretation is this. You must define the key words. If you're going to get the right meaning of a Bible verse, you've got to make sure that you understand what the word means, not what you think it means. And just because it means something somewhere else doesn't mean it means that in this particular verse. Have you ever had an argument with your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or your girlfriend because you both used the same word but meant different things by it? Nod. Those of you who are not nodding are lying. Kay and I have this argument every day. Every single day. Because I'll use a word and she'll use a word and we mean totally different things using the same word. So you just can't assume you know the meaning of a word. Words have multiple meanings.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We hope you've enjoyed today's lesson. If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, is it enough to just love the Word and learn the Word? Pastor Rick Warren says no. If we want to see lasting changes and real growth in our lives, we've got to live the Word too. Here's Rick to tell you more.
To fulfill the purpose that God created you for and to become the person that God wants you to be, you must fill your life with His Word. 2 Timothy 3:17 says, "Through the Word we are put together and shaped for the tasks that God has for us." You see, God's Word is unlike any other word. It's alive. In John 6:63, Jesus says, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life." When God's Word comes into your life, you come alive. When God speaks, things change. Everything around you, all of creation exists because God spoke it into existence. The Bible tells us that God's Word generates life, creates faith. It produces change. It frightens the devil. It causes miracles. The Bible tells us that God's Word heals our hurts and builds our character and transforms our circumstances. The Bible tells us that God's Word imparts joy. It overcomes adversity. It defeats temptation. It infuses hope. It releases power. It cleanses our minds. The Bible says God's Word brings things into being and guarantees our future forever. Now, to help you study the Word of God and to deepen your understanding of this life-changing Word, I've created a resource. It's called 40 Days in the Word, and it's a study kit that you can do by yourself or, even better, do it with a couple friends in a small group. It includes a DVD study of 6 sessions and a workbook and other instructions on how to memorize Scripture, how to meditate on God's Word, and how to get God's Word into your heart and life at a level you have never had it before. This month, when you give a gift to help support the Ministry of Daily Hope, I want to send you the 40 Days in the Word study kit. It'll help you study the Bible, but as I said, it can also be used as a small group study where you'll learn methods of personal Bible study. This is all for your gift to Daily Hope. I've told you before, we're a 100% listener-supported ministry, and your financial gift goes directly toward telling people around the world about the hope of the good news. I do this for free. I don't get any remuneration for doing this. I do this because I care about God's Word and I care about you. The Bible says we can't live without the Word of God. We are to never take it for granted. We are to consider it an essential part of our lives, as essential as eating on a daily basis. Job 23:12 says, "I've treasured the words of His mouth more than my daily bread." This study kit, 40 Days in the Word, can teach you how to treasure God's Word even more than food.
We'll send you a copy of the 40 Days in the Word 6-session video and workbook as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. Today is the last day to get this awesome study tool, so contact us right away. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.